app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's issued a proclamation banning travel to the U.S. from 12 countries. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
It targets people from specific countries in the Western Hemisphere, like Haiti and Venezuela, as well as places in Africa like Libya and Somalia. There's also Afghanistan and others.
Mr. Trump's also blocking most foreign students from entering the country to attend his least favorite Ivy. Correspondent Nikki Batiste.
In a statement, a Harvard spokesperson called it an illegal retaliatory step in violation of the school's First Amendment rights and said Harvard will continue to protect its international students.
The president's also threatening the accreditation of Columbia University. Police in Washington state asking for help as they hunt for Army veteran Travis Decker, suspected of killing his three young daughters. Sheriff Mike Morrison.
We're not just keeping our focus here within Chelan County. We're also focusing nationwide on other leads that are coming out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. We've all seen beaches close because of icky green algae. In central Wisconsin, they're testing a way to restore lakes to their natural beauty without the use of chemicals. The test started about a year and a half ago in the marina on Lake Arrowhead in Adams County. Carl Hasdahl, who is now the Rometown Board chairperson, said within 67 days, the amount of muck on the bottom of the marina had been reduced by a foot.
The clarity of the water went from 8 inches to 3 feet.
The process uses Mollier nanobubble technology to deliver oxygen throughout the depth of the water. This includes the water at the sediment layer.
And it'll change the sediment basically from anaerobic to aerobic, allowing the good bacteria to overtake the bad bacteria.
Anaerobic conditions, which means without oxygen, can lead to an overgrowth of algae. By shifting conditions to aerobic near the sediment layer, this addition of oxygen stimulates and accelerates the good bacteria to break down organic muck more efficiently. Right now, the Wisconsin DNR is allowing the Tri-Lakes region to do a 10% test on Lake Camelot. They want to be sure having these units inject nanobubbles into the lakes isn't going to hurt the lakes or their inhabitants. Once the DNR is satisfied by the data, the units will eventually be installed on all three lakes.
We're basically spearheading this for the state of Wisconsin. We have about 200 lake districts in the state, and I've got 30 of them in the wings waiting to see the results here so they can start pushing it as well.
Property owners say they've seen many attempts to rid the lakes of algae. One owner stated there's Band-Aids and there's cures. Hasdahl replied, this is a cure.
You're going to see a lot of this happening over the next couple of years because it's a solution. It's not a Band-Aid. And this will help us restore the lakes back to what they should be.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The crew beat the Reds.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers getting home runs yesterday from Jackson Churio, Isaac Collins. Daz Cameron hit one 437 feet into center field on FanDuel, Wisconsin.
They're now 12-8 against them.
3-2, hammered out towards left center field, and it is gone for Daz Cameron. That's his fourth hit of the trip, his first home run as a Brewer, and it's 5-1 Milwaukee.
The Brewers went on to win 9-1 over the Reds to take the series 2-1. Milwaukee's now beat Cincinnati 12 series in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Really proud of our club to respond the way it did. Really, really proud of it.
Golf, the AmFam Championship going on this weekend at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to, and to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Stricker with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly to mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Wayne York, who makes the popcorn pick of the week. And then organized crime expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk about presidents and their connections to the mob.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Thursday morning, June 5th, 2025. You're just moments away from visiting with Chad Holmes about stories that he's following in the Wausau area. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley in a bit about your money and the markets and the latest Trump tariffs that are on the way. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki as well this hour. Parker Olson standing by in Studio A2, still kind of walking on air after UW-Whitewater won the national title yesterday in baseball.
I'm a happy camper, Pat.
You should be. You should be, absolutely. Although there are some people that think your job may be suffering as a result, as you know from our earlier discussions, Parker, not much of a coffee drinker. And so Tony putting up on YouTube, I will blame all of Parker's mistakes, none yet, on his lack of coffee.
Well, so none yet is generous, but...
Parker's very much into hydration,
yeah,
and the need for water. And to make the record clear, he's in the right. We should all be drinking more water. I'm just choosing not to follow it right now.
You should always drink more water, Pat.
And because you know what, in a water cup, you can't have witty sayings like my coffee mug here that says I am silently correcting your grammar. Chad Holmes joins us from Wausau. Coffee, water, something else in the morning? Something you shouldn't admit to on air?
I usually have water, but for some unknown reason, I'm rotting my insides this morning because I've got a big mountain.
What are you doing with that big old Mountain Dew
Dude,
there?
It's eight.
I don't know why. I was over at my refrigerator here in our little back area, and I brought this because I have a game later today, and I usually bring this, which is stupid as well. I don't know. You asked the wrong question here this morning, and all my dirty, dark secrets are coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mountain Dew, that's the real hazard here. That's just
rotting from the inside out here.
Yeah, something like that. So, all right. Well, Parker, you're right. We should all be drinking more water.
Yes, he's right.
I hope
yes.
You guys can be more like me next week.
we will endeavor. As best we can.
We need good influences. That's definitely the case here.
That's yeah. it.
That's why they hired
Parker Olson, good influence. All right. Chad, there's an editorial in the Wausau Pilot and Review that one of the subheads is Why Wausau Needs a Professional City Manager. And it talks about, you know, ethics standoffs, blurred authority, a broader breakdown in City Hall, undervalued land, murky deals, missed opportunities, we didn't even get into, you know, stolen ballot drop boxes and things like that. But this seems to be I don't know how prevalent this voice is in Wausau, that maybe the current way things are operating in City Hall could use a change.
Basically, it's timely because I've been digesting a lot of things recently myself here, and we didn't get to it on Tuesday, and you'd sent me a link to a story about a complaint against council members concerning this whole warped issue with the Dropbox and with the relationship at City Hall between folks in staff and in council and the mayor, and the story about a 17-year-old buying property that almost snuck through, and then all of a sudden someone said, "Hey, that person that's going to buy that property, 17 years old." There is a lot going wrong right now. And the idea of what Shireen Seward, the editor, publisher, the Pilot, put out yesterday concerning a manager style instead of a mayoral style is something that I have not been for as long as I can remember. But the way things are going, it's definitely a conversation that should be had, because right now things are not working the way they should be working in this community when it comes to the mayor and the relationship with staff and council and everything else. But at the same time, I was thinking about this maybe even in a bigger way. If you're going to say this about the Wausau government, couldn't you just as easily say it about the United States government or the state government? And what does this road ultimately lead to? I mean, are we going to start to basically take out some of the polls that are the base of what our system is right now? And I'm not ready maybe to go as far as Shireen went in terms of her editorial. But at the same time, I certainly see a lot of the reasons behind it as well.
Yeah, and I'm not – I don't have a firm – opinion one way or the other, because I've seen them all. I've seen, you know, strong and weak mayors. I've seen good and bad city managers. I've seen strong and weak, you know, city councils around Wisconsin over the years that I've been covering these things. And I understand the desire for, like, a city manager or a county administrator is no different than, you know, the chief executive officer sometimes has the right vision but can't get it done without a good chief operating officer. Mm-hmm. And so I understand the sentiment, but I'm definitely in your camp of thinking we really should allow the people to pick who their leaders are, who's running things. And if they don't do a great job, then we replace them. For example, if I were a resident of Wausau right now, I'd be asking some of my friends, how much buyer's remorse you having right now, you know, letting Katie Rosenberg go, and he ended up with Doug Denny. And I have a feeling if the election were held again today, maybe we'd see a different result. But at least the people would make that choice rather than having a manager thrust upon them. So I side that way a little bit, but it's also not a hill I would necessarily die on.
I think you're kind of saying where I am as well. And basically, this is a question that goes all the way back. I mean, in 1 year and 1 month, we will be celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence and the formation of this country. And this goes back to many of the questions that were brought up in those early discussions when it came to what form of government that the United States of America would have. And basically, it comes down to, do we trust the people to make the right decisions? And I think there are a number of examples, whether it's here in Wausau, when you talk about maybe buyer's remorse from what happened just over a year ago in that election, and maybe you talk about what happened in November of last year within the United States of America. Because if you ultimately go down this road, you're saying that the people can't make the right decisions. And I understand it's more than that when what Shireen is talking about here in terms of folks that are able to do the job or the complexity of running city government at this time. But I do kind of take a step back and I'm thinking, well, again, this would be a step. And again, it's not as though this has not been done elsewhere. I mean, obviously she says that as well, but man, I think it's a rather fundamental question that folks here in Wausau are going to have to be speaking about. And basically, I think this is a question that many folks around the country are going to have to speak about as we move into the next era of this country.
You know what I think you've done here is you've actually given me the fodder for next weekend's Sunday morning newsletter and our question of the week. and the whole mayor versus city manager, you know, county administrator. Do you want to elect people? Should they be more management types? I think we got to put it out there and see what people think. Because we can talk this one all day long, but I'd really love for people to either text in or, you know, drop us an email, put something in the comment section and find out where people are on this. Are they so sick of politicians that, you know, they do want more professional managers, or do they sense that there might be a harm in that, in outsourcing what we're supposed to be doing as voters is picking the best person for the job, not necessarily the guy or the gal that runs the best campaign ads.
No. Well, unfortunately, a lot of that is the case. And also, again, there are examples. I know that even in this part of the state where you have the manager system, and boy, sometimes you see a lot of turnover there as well.
You do. Yes,
I mean, finding the right people there. This is not a panacea. You have to, it's in much the same way that you have to pick the right person within an election. You have to be very confident you're picking the right person through the application process. So
and unfortunately, you know, sometimes you have the good manager, but they're getting interfered with and micromanaged by a council that wants to be, you know, more partisan than anything else. And you know what I'm hearing right now? I'm hearing every school board member out there going, yeah, amen, because that's what they do. They have to pick the superintendent. Mm-hmm. You know, superintendents are elected, and how many battles have we seen back and forth between school boards and superintendents in some of these districts? Before I let you go, I know you are so busy with spring sports postseason. You're in the last, what, week or two of everything here? So
yeah, that's the hope. We're down to one team here, and baseball regionals, and then next Tuesday is sectionals, and then knock on wood, if you're lucky enough, then the state tournament after that. So basically, I was talking to somebody yesterday at the game. I said, well, you know, this could be the last day, but I said I'm hoping for two more weeks. So we're in that portion of the schedule. But yeah, basically we're to the end of the line for another school year, and then a school athletic year as well.
You pay attention either to the Stanley Cup finals or the NBA finals?
Actually, last night I wasn't watching the game, the Stanley Cup final, but then I saw that, hey, the game's in overtime, so I was like in bed. Now I got out of bed, I went in, and I watched the end of the game in overtime. So yeah, I do like following the hockey, but I haven't done it as much because it's just, you know, I'm running around all the time. But it was cool. It was you know, when you have an overtime game, when you get to this level, there is a great intensity, and I see it, whether it's, I had an extra inning game a couple of days ago, man, it's there's an excitement at this point of the season. And as you well know, these regular seasons in professional sports are so long. Yes. It basically is a build up to here, and it's so long, sometimes it takes away a little bit of the edge. You get numbed to so many games, but watching the overtime last night was a lot of fun, and go Canada.
Absolutely. And I love playoff hockey, but I really love playoff hockey that goes into overtime. And yeah. I'm so sad that I had to go to bed early last night. I mean, if I almost kind of wish now I'd like recorded the game and said, don't tell me. But,
I know.
You know, a morning show host actually should know who won the night before.
The great part about it last night was they were right to the end of the first overtime. There was less than a minute to go. And I'm thinking, oh, come on, end it right now. I need to go to bed.
Yes.
And they scored a power play goal in the last minute of OT. And they're like, yes.
When they say they're going, we're going to a third overtime, you're like, no, please. No. So
that's one of the usually it either ends pretty quickly or else it goes a long time.
There's a lot to be said for one overtime. And back to the long seasons, obviously for money reasons, they're not going to change it. But I've always said if I had my way, you'd have your March Madness. Okay, fine. And then like the very next week would be the Stanley Cup finals. The very next week would be the NBA finals. And then the very next week would be the opening of baseball season. Just have a whole festival of, you'd have such ratings and everything, and you can throw golf and NASCAR in that and everything, but all of it doesn't it all pale in comparison to Parker Olsen being a national champion now because his Whitewater Warhawks won the D1 baseball title yesterday?
That is very cool.
I mean, we're really putting all the praise on Parker here. It's his fandom that pushed Whitewater to that national title yesterday.
Obviously.
And do you understand he's done nothing this morning so far in 2 hours and 19 minutes to dissuade us from that notion? There's not a shred of humility in this guy.
A little nod to the head, right?
Why would I tell you?
I did it.
Of course I did it.
Congratulations to you, Parker, once again. You did it. Thank you, Chad Holmes. Appreciate it. 98.9 WXCO. Catch him in the Wausau area or on the Civic Media app. Listen to what he's doing in Wausau that way as well. Still ahead this hour, Sean O'Malley on money and markets ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, and Joe Sopecki from the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wasota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/actnow.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello and welcome everyone to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. Welcoming into the studio some good friends of ours from St. John's Episcopal Church. We're going to be talking about their 150th anniversary celebration right now. I will let you guys introduce yourselves so the audience can put a voice to the name. We'll start right here.
I'm Father David Kluterman. I'm the priest in charge at St. John's. Been there for about 5 years, so.
Father David, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Appreciate it.
I'm Bruce Barnes. I'm a proud member of St. John's. I've been there for about 3 years.
Bruce, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate the contact information and a lot of that stuff that you really helped us get the ball rolling here and stuff, too. And I appreciate you both being here. I just want to say right away, I'm thankful to not only what you guys are doing, but what so much of our churches and our community do in this area. And as somebody who didn't grow up in this world that much, I grew up in a multi-religious family. I'm always just blown away and taken back by the above and beyond that our churches do and that we see them involved in our communities and helping out people. As a little kid, I grew up in a Catholic and a Jewish family, and I didn't think that, well, I'm an outsider. Nobody's going to help me. Nobody wants to do it. And it couldn't be more the opposite, where it's, hey, you're a human being. what, you know, how can I help? How can I do things? Or, okay, you know, what can I do to just welcome you to our events in some of these things? Mm-hmm. So I never want to, I know that's kind of normalized in today's day and age, and that's a wonderful thing, but I don't ever want to skate past it. I think that that's something that stands out, not just to me, to many other people out there. So I really appreciate that and appreciate both of your guys' time today talking about this event. We were talking in our pregame a little bit, Father David, you were mentioning mm-hmm. how many things are around for 150 years. In November, here at WFHR, we're going to be celebrating an 80-plus birthday. And we're babies compared to you guys, compared to this. Yeah. Like, when you think about that, in that perspective, it's really amazing, 150 years. It's really impressive.
It is. Of course, then again, the radio wasn't around 150 years ago.
That's a good point. Thank you for that. Yeah. But just talking about the church and its presence, its impact in the area for quite a amount of time, that's really something.
It is. And if you look at the history of St. John's, it really parallels that of Wisconsin Rapids and Centralia and Port Edwards and Nakusa. We've covered that whole area. And one of the things that has struck me is I'm a student of history, and I love to go through church records. And one of the things that just strikes you is that there's been a partnership between the larger community mm-hmm. and St. John's Church. Mm-hmm. And St. John's would not be here, if not for the passion, not only of its members, but also of the larger community. Mm-hmm. When they built the present St. John's in the late 20s and opened in 1931, the only reason they could do that was because half of the gifts outside of those from Isaac Witter came from outside the congregation, from members of the community of Wisconsin Rapids. And so you think about that, and that's... It's also
beyond impressive. That's really, really beyond impressive. Yeah. That is really something. I appreciate. You know, I also a lover of history, and I wouldn't have thought of it that way until how you worded it, and the two being parallel mm-hmm. with the history of this area, that church, and it's something I think that's very, like, it's really cool to hear too. The way you worded that, the way you said about the church not being here without the community and so much of that, I think that that's something that we don't think of very often. So that's a really great note. I appreciate that.
Thank you
for being here. Bruce, so I understand why the father is here, and I know that I have to be here because it's my job. Why are you here? No, I'm kidding. What I wanted to say, I note that because I think that this is another part. I'm piggybacking on what the father was saying here about the people in the community and how much these things mean to us. What is so important to you about celebrating these 150th years, about talking about some of these events, and why you wanted to be with us today?
Well, I'm here as I owe David $5.
That's a perfect reason.
This then discharges reason, yeah. That debt, so now we're square once
square
again.
Enough.
With interest.
This is such an important part of our lives, yeah. And just I think when I consider St. John's and its mission and its history, the word community comes back to me over and over again. Community, and that's what we are. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. We're in the center of the Wisconsin Rapids community, geographically and in many other ways too. So this is a way for the community again to come and meet us, and for us to meet them. So that's what the events and the celebration are, and I want to make it real clear to our audience that what they're not is an attempt to convert you to our church. Mm-hmm. We're not missionaries here. This is just a chance to see who we are, explore that big glorious building across from the post office downtown, and come in and have a look at us, at the surroundings. And I can tell you that the stained glass windows are even more impressive from the inside.
Okay, yeah, I got to see that. I have to. I'm a sucker for the architecture and stuff, so that's I've noticed that too. That's
it's
really
truly
good.
A glorious, glorious building.
And thank you for that, Bruce. Appreciate it. You're going to be great. When it comes to the events that are coming up to celebrate the 150th anniversary here, let's talk about some of those, Father. When does it start? What kicks things off?
We start this Sunday, June 8th. We have a service at 9:30, and then we have a picnic for the community. Goes from 12 to 3 on the grounds of both in the parish hall, but also on the grounds. And we will be providing food for everybody. It's a chicken dinner and free. So we hope everybody comes. And that's really an opportunity for us, first of all, to kick off the celebration and say thank you to the community and celebrate the partnership. And then in July, we have a second celebration where we open the church to and have open house and give tours of the building and give a little bit of the history and really be able to share in some of the who we are and what we've been about for all this time, and with a background idea that there's something about opening ourselves up.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Another person sentenced to time in prison for conspiring to sell drugs in the Marathon County area. On Wednesday, Joshua L. Lake, age 32, was sentenced to 11 years in federal prison for conspiring to distribute methamphetamine and possessing a firearm as a felon. The investigation began in early 2024 by the Central Wisconsin's Narcotic Task Force. By April, officers were able to execute a search warrant at Lake's home. They found approximately 2 kilograms of methamphetamine. That's over 4 pounds. They also found 1 kilogram of cocaine, 2 rifles, over $25,000 in cash, and other items linked to drug trafficking. At sentencing, U.S. District Judge William Conley described Lake's conduct as egregious and said the amount of pure meth in his possession was stunning. 3 other people have been charged in this drug trafficking organization. After the 11-year federal prison sentence, Lake will spend 5 years on supervised release. Negotiations between Governor Tony Evers and top Republicans have hit a wall. Last night, key GOP leaders said talks had reached an impasse, despite what they called good-faith negotiations. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu and Budget Committee Co-Chair Senator Howard Markline said taxpayers simply can't afford the governor's spending priorities. In response, Evers said he kept his end of the bargain, backing tax cuts for the middle class and retirees. But Republicans wouldn't budge on his calls for child care, education, and funding for the UW system. Wisconsin has the largest budget surplus on record, according to an analysis from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. The Joint Finance Committee stripped hundreds of items from the governor's budget proposal last month, and it meets again this afternoon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Hunt for Osama Bin Laden is a ratings jackpot for Netflix, but not to be outdone is the hunt for Michael J. Fox's guitar from Back to the Future. The film is about to celebrate its 40th anniversary in just a few weeks on July 3rd. As you may remember, Michael J. Fox's character, Marty McFly, famously played Johnny B. Goode at the Enchantment Under the Sea high school dance. Fox rocked the crowd with a red Gibson, which was never seen again. The team of guitar-searching showbiz mercenaries includes Fox, co-star Leah Thompson, Christopher Lloyd, who played Doc, and rock star Huey Lewis. They all appear on camera in a new documentary called Lost to the Future. You too can be part of this manhunt as they are making an appeal to the public to help in the search. Anyone with leads on the guitar's whereabouts can call 1-888-345-1955 or send a message to www.losttothefuture.com. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly to mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Emily Mills will join us from the recombobulation area on an intriguing story about AI and its effect on the environment, as well as what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tomorrow on the program, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze, and Joan Esposito. I was just on Joan Esposito's show yesterday in Chicago, WCPT, if you want to look that up. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us and tell us all about what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had to say to a room full of doctors this week, including telling these doctors, you need to do your research. I will bet Kristen has some thoughts on that. And we'll also begin a weekly Friday segment with Mike Clemens talking about the weekend coming up in sports. That's all tomorrow here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you here. Sean O'Malley back with us, compliance financial expert with a long career on Wall Street. This Wisconsin native is now back. You're mostly sailing boats out of Washburn or Bayfield or Ashland or something like that, right?
Bayfield, yeah.
Bayfield, yes. But you know, still obviously following things, and we appreciate the time that you spend on this. And it's time for a part of the segment I'm going to call Hold On, Cowboy. And it goes like this. The headline, U.S. trade deficit plummets in April. U.S. trade fell sharply as President Trump's global tariffs begin to weigh on imports. And so people going, President Trump said he was going to shrink the trade deficit, and by gum, he has done it. The trade deficit has shrunk, to which I would respond, hold on, cowboy. That's not the full story. The full story would be if U.S. manufacturing has made up the difference, and that's why it ain't that, Sean. It's just that there's less on the store shelf right now.
Correct. Inventories are down. I mean, we're a lot of the shipping, as we talked about, you know, in earlier shows, had essentially stopped, slowed down so substantially that you're seeing, you know, job cuts in shipping related industries, in trucking related industries, anything that takes a product from one place and moves it to another place because there's less product moving. There was the big sort of, yeah, everybody bought in advance of these tariffs, you know, sort of really taking a bite. And now everybody's just sort of holding still, kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. As we know, the tariff can has been kicked to July for the most part. So everybody's sort of waiting to see what the final result is going to be.
There's one more I want to get to here, and then we'll bring we'll get to Joe Zepecki. But again, a New York Times headline: U.S. trimming back its collection of consumer price data. The cutbacks would have minimal impact, the government said, but economists warned of reduced confidence in inflation data produced by a struggling statistical system. This seems rather similar to what's happening with the cuts at the National Weather Service and not being able to collect data there. There's the sharp reduction in data on health statistics that are being released about the nation's health. Seems, again, very odd that for an administration that says they want to prove what they're doing with consumer prices, that they're now cutting back its data collection in this area.
Correct. Yeah. What you're seeing is basically a government that doesn't want you to actually have information. They want you to believe what they're telling you. You know, don't trust your lion eyes. Believe what I'm telling you. So I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make sure that they can control the narrative. The one issue that they've got with that is that on the budget bill, which is what is really impacting all of this spending, that narrative is starting to get out of their hands, particularly since Elon Musk has recently come out criticizing the government bill and now has been joined. There were a few senators before, but now there is a larger group. Newsweek just yesterday published a list of 10 senators, including Wisconsin's Ron Johnson, who are now saying, look, we don't think this bill as it stands is a good idea because it's going to increase the national debt significantly. And that's exactly the same reason that Elon Musk is using. So now with a 53-47 split for Republicans versus Democrats in the U.S. Senate, the question is, do they have the votes to get through the bill through unamended, or don't they?
And that's what we were talking about last hour with Congressman Mark Pocan. And it is, it's not the kind of mystery we want to deal with in Washington, D.C. I'd rather be watching The Residents, you know, a fictitious murder mystery out of the White House. But this is the real life mystery that we're dealing with. And everybody's lives and prices and everything are hanging in the balance. Sean O'Malley, as always, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Hey, let's bring in Joe Specky now, as we do on Thursday mornings, who's also a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. And we've got plenty of ground to cover on all of these things. But Joe, as part of your run, you were recently in Washburn, right?
Yes. But before we get to that, were you just announcing to everyone that you've been watching The Residents on Netflix?
I watched the first episode and I loved it. I haven't come to episode two yet.
Melissa and I are about 3 or 4 episodes in. So once we're done, perhaps we could do competing reviews next week.
I'm loving this idea. Stay tuned next week at 8:50 when we start that segment. But you were in Washburn, to which Tony on YouTube jumped in and said, you went to Washburn and didn't tell me?
We tried to get the word out, man, with the Czech Dems up there. We had a nice little conversation on when I was near Lake Wissota. We covered a lot of ground last week. We were in Chippewa Falls and Superior and Washburn and Marinette and Green Bay and Lake Mills and Merrill. We got around. And yes, to me, that's the job, is go and meet people where they are and listen. And what I continue to hear is that we're a party that needs to make some changes. We have real opportunity ahead of us going into next year, but we got to get it right.
Yeah, by the way, inside baseball, Czech Dems stands for Shawamigan Dems, which is the Ashland Bayfield, the two county parties merged. And yes. So that's the Shawamigan Dems that we all lovingly refer to as the Czech Dems that you saw while you were up there. So we are, what, about 10 days ahead of the election for state party chair?
Sure. It's a week from Sunday.
A week from Sunday. Okay. So that's coming up before you know it here. And so that's what's led to all of the travels and the conversations and the discussion about where the party goes from here. Have you noticed any shifting in the conversations since you got into the race, that people feel either better or worse about how the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is going to be navigating, you know, this upcoming cycle?
No, I think lots of people want us to be better and do better. They want to do more and are already doing a lot. And as I've said throughout this race, two things are true at the same time. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin is as strong as it's ever been, thanks to Ben Wickler and his team. And Democrats have a lot of work to do. We just do when it comes to how we communicate and how we organize. We can be better. We have to. Like, standing still is falling behind. That's the way the world works. We talk to our football players, not about meeting the standard, but setting the standard every single day, every single week. And that's what the state party needs to do. We've set a standard under Ben that 49 other state parties around the country are jealous of when it comes to how we fundraise. Now I think we need to set the standard for 49 other state parties when it comes to how we communicate. And I believe we can do that. People are leaning in and engaged, and they want to do more.
Especially local groups like the Czech Dems, to which Tony jumped on YouTube and says, it's the best Democratic group in the state. You know, many people are saying.
A lot of people are saying.
A lot of people are saying, especially up north, and rightly so. So way to toot your own horn there. Let's shift over to some of the state political headlines. And of course, the big one is that Republicans broke off negotiations with Governor Tony Evers. I would put negotiations in quotes. The governor did meet them on, you know, their tax cut demands, but they would not, you know, come halfway on what needs to be done for education and healthcare and things like that. So, I mean, I would have loved for this to succeed, but if it was going to break down, it broke down pretty much the way almost anybody could have predicted.
Yeah, Republicans are the take your ball and go home party. They are never happier than when they are, you know, have some grievance. Oh no, they won't do this, they won't do that. They've been in power in Wisconsin for way too long. This is what happens when one party controls the legislature for as long as they have, which I think we're going on 16 years now. It is time for a change. It is time for Democrats to have the wheel when it comes to the state budget. I believe next year, 2026, we will win the Assembly and Senate seats required for Democrats to be in charge of the budget process. And if that happens, we can finally deliver as a state on priorities that we know people want. That's what's at stake next year. And it's why what happens with the party is so important.
Now, I know you're going to say I shouldn't even be talking about these things, but if Democrats do take the Assembly and the Senate next year, which is quite possible now that we have fairer maps, but if for whatever reason a Republican were to win the governor's race and Democrats were to control the Assembly and Senate, can I make a virtual guarantee that with that level of split control, the process would still operate smoother than it's operating right now?
It would, because Democrats are interested in policies that move people's lives forward. Not, you know, tired political, you know, rhetoric, which is what we see out of Republicans. We've talked about this before, but like the notion that we can't raise one dime of new revenue from the wealthiest Americans because that would be a tax increase, it's nonsense. George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama all raised taxes a little bit on the wealthiest. And you know what it led to? Economic growth. And more economic security for working families in this country. That wasn't that long ago. This is all within my lifetime. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I still consider myself a young man some days.
Look, I mentioned earlier in the program, it was George H.W. Bush who essentially painted the modern Republican Party into a corner with the read my lips, no new taxes line. And then he ended up having to raise taxes a bit on the wealthy because, again, that's what responsible leaders do when faced with a crisis and you want to balance the budget and you don't want to cut off everybody's health care or education. You give a little, you get a little. George H.W. Bush, did that and paid a price for it. And the Republicans have been rather extreme ever since in saying, we're not even, like you said, going to raise things a dime because of that extremist corner that they've painted themselves into.
Yeah, George H.W. Bush did the right thing. There are, you know, Republicans in Waukesha County who want to do the right thing and institute a sales tax to help their municipal government afford the things that their community needs. But Republican lawmakers in Madison, oh no, can't do that, even when local Republican leaders want to do it. That's the Gordian knot that Republicans have tied themselves into. And it's why you see this monstrosity of a reconciliation bill. I was thinking about it after we talked last week. They call it the Big Beautiful Bill. A three-word title. Only one of those words is not a lie. Big? It's not big. It's massive. It blows a hole in the deficit and the debt, right? It is not beautiful. Beautiful is in the eye of the beholder. And anybody who thinks it is beautiful to cut taxes for millionaires and billionaires and make poor kids pay for it because they can't get food assistance or they can't get health care, if that's beautiful, you need to get your eyes checked. The only true word in the title is that it is a bill, but it is a bill that is going nowhere.
Well, exactly. And for differing reasons among Senate Republicans, but still there. So I will again say, both from a legislature standpoint and a Congress standpoint, there are Republicans out there, regular Republicans, not currently politicians. The opportunity is there. Well, hell, even with some of the incumbents as well. The opportunity is there to be that maverick, to be that guy or that woman who says, yeah, this is too much. You can still be a fiscal conservative and yet understand that this is a big bloated boondoggle and insist on some other way to go about doing this that doesn't hurt so many Americans and also isn't such a giveaway to the fabulously wealthy. Joe Zepecki is here. We will eventually, I think next week, be talking all about the residents and more TV viewing, because we need some good political TV viewing now and then, and the residents just might be that. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Going to the community picnic real quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the time of year for this. This is something that we know brings people together and enjoy, and it's a wonderful idea. I really like that. The open house is something that I would never put this on anybody, but for lack of a better word, feel so necessary nowadays. You know, just being able to do this in all it up to people and everything. The more and more people doing these kind of things, the more we really take away any kind of other thoughts or unknown stuff. It's so much easier to be able to get answers if you're just going there. And I don't mean necessarily religiously or anything. I just mean in general. And the more comfortable people are going to these places, the more they will be when they have questions, when they do wonder mm-hmm. things. They're that much more. Along with it just being fun and just being great.
great. Bruce, you were talking about the beautiful building and the architecture there. I mean, even people being able to see some of that and be more familiar with this and the surroundings and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing. And you guys are doing this in a partnership with Witter Home and Isaac and Charlotte Wider. They're going to be a part of this as well.
Yeah, it is. The Witters were founding fathers and mothers of St. John's Church.
Uh-huh.
And they provided a good deal of the financial imagination and other resources needed to make this happen. And obviously, they're also known in the community for what they've done in many other ways. And they built what is now the museum.
Mm-hmm.
They lived there for many years. And so we approached the museum and said, wouldn't it be a really cool thing for us to be able to celebrate together in July the Witter name,
mm-hmm.
not just for the church, but for what they have offered to the larger community.
Yeah.
And we're blessed that the museum has said yes, and they will be open and allowed us to have a reenactor there in Charlotte Witter that who can describe the family life of the Witters living in that home.
Yeah. We love our friends over at the museum. Phil joins us all the time, yeah. and we're talking with him. And one of the things that I know he's excited about with this is that part you were mentioning there about bringing in the real person. It's a great person to be able to kind of bring life to a lot of this stuff, yeah. and everything. That's going to be an exciting one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fun going on there. I'll warn you guys right now, you're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back before October so we can talk about that, what's coming up there. But just to go ahead and let the audience know a little bit and maybe even mark it on their calendars. In October, you're going to be hosting a music festival.
We do. We are. Every year since for the last 5 years, we've had what we've called the St. Cecilia Music Festival, named after the chapel that is at St. John's. And it highlights the organ that was installed in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful organ, unique to this area, and the whole music festival sort of has been centered around that. And this year, with the organ, we're going to try to bring back the original evensong service from 1931, from October 18th of 1931, when they consecrated the church.
It's a fun idea.
It is going to be so much fun.
Mm-hmm. So. It's very exciting. Looking forward to that. We will talk more about it when we get closer to it and everything.
We'll have free food at that celebration as well. I don't know if that's another enticement, but absolutely.
No, that's great.
Come for the music, stay for the grub. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Episcopal Potluck is an excellent event. We eat very, very well.
Also coming up in November, going to have a celebration of with a Founders Day banquet at St. John's as
yes.
well. Wanted to mention that before we kind of rewind and go back to some of the other yeah. events, but wanted to mention that for people as well.
Yeah.
Then mark your calendars for that, everybody. We are speaking with Father David and Bruce right now, and I wanted to go back, if you don't mind, to the open house. Bruce, some more details on that, because you have some really fun, really cool ideas that are going to be going on with this open house coming up.
Yeah, we're having an open house, and we'll have an opening presentation by me. I'll be appearing as Father Samuel Seabury, who was the first American bishop of the Episcopal Church, around 1780, give or take. And I want the world to know I'm shaving off my horseshoe mustache for the part. I'm getting into the character. It's a big sacrifice for me. Yes, method acting.
I am an actor. I respect that, sir. That is awesome.
I'll be dressed for the part. No vintage undies, but other than that, I'm dressed for the part. And we're excited about this. The tours are going to be given by reenactors who are members of our church family. So we have Bishop Seabury, we have Charlotte and Isaac Witter, who are both early benefactors of our church. And they'll be, once again, in period dress. So add a little twist to the festivities. And I think you'll enjoy just simply seeing that, knowing a little bit more about St. John's and a little more about the Episcopal Church. And if we can take the spiritual question, put that aside just briefly, it's a fascinating history. In and of itself. So I hope you'll attend and enjoy meeting us. I know we're going to enjoy meeting you.
We were just talking to our friends at Historic Point Bath a little bit about this, about it being a living museum and things that you can mm-hmm. touch and interact with. And in the years I've been doing this show, I've talked to them, and I mentioned Phil at the museum and some of that. As lovers of history, like you and I, Father David, and it sounds like you are a bit too, Bruce, of course. Yeah. So it seems like a majority of people I talk to actually do just have a love of history. The way of telling that history is becoming more and more interesting to me, and seeing the unique ways of doing it. And this is one of the cooler ideas I've heard of doing that. And I feel like, especially when I talk to people about this, and this a lot of the younger people I talk to about this, that information stays with them more. It mm-hmm. means a little bit something more. There's just something about taking in that info and it registering and staying with them that much more when it's done that way. So a big thank you to you and the team there for taking this on and doing something like this. I think that's really fun, and it just brings more fun to this. And
it'll be fun for us too.
Yeah,
Bruce, it's a great point too about being able to separate. I think that this area is very good at that with respect, where you do that and you're still giving respect to what have to these things, while also just being able to enjoy and take some pride in the history of this area. So that's a really good note too, man. I appreciate that. That's going to be fun.
And I think one of the really nice parts about what we're doing is we're remembering that history is about telling a story and learning how to tell that story in the way that will reach people the most.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. First-time joblets claims have jumped to their highest level in 8 months. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Economists fear tariff uncertainty will upend what has been a strong labor market. Tomorrow's government employment report is expected to show the economy added fewer jobs in May than it did in April.
President Trump's issued a proclamation banning travel to the U.S. from 12 different countries. This traveler weighed in at LAX.
I do hope it's a short-term travel ban and not something that is indefinite. Because I do think that one of the things that makes America great and makes America beautiful is that it's a melting pot of cultures.
Crews still cleaning up 2,000 gallons of diesel fuel that spilled into Baltimore's inner harbor from tanks at Johns Hopkins, accidentally overfilled. Governor Wes Moore.
We have seen over 100 personnel literally worked through the night to make sure that we had this situation under control and contained.
The governor says there is no danger to drinking water. CBS News Brief.